Okay, let's get the show on the road. Welcome to Dispatch number 3, the third and final. I am your co-host, Marina Antunes, at Rule3.com, Collider.us, joined by co-hosts.
Bill Harris, Green Screen of Death.
Lisa.
Still has no last name.
I know, she's very mysterious. Lisa's making a return appearance. This is the second year on the podcast.
Right? More than that, I think.
Yeah, I think maybe third or fourth appearance, actually.
Could be, yeah.
Thinking about it.
Oh, wow.
Time flies, man.
It totally does. So we're not in a bank vault or a bank...
Vancouver.
Yeah.
That was really weird.
That last year was
crazy. Yeah, we recorded in where a debit machine was, and we got accosted by bums.
Yeah, that's right.
That was really strange.
Mind you, I remember it was really cold. And raining, if I remember right.
I might be. Yeah.
Today it's just kind of cold.
It only rained one day this fest.
But the weather totally changed from the beginning of the fest to the end. Like, when it started, it was still kind of springy. Like, I was wearing, a light jacket, and it was warm out. It's fucking freezing now.
I know.
It's not really cold, but it is cold.
I wore pants yesterday.
You were wearing a jacket
really?
Yesterday.
I know. Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was wearing his Whistler jacket yesterday.
It was cold.
Never seen.
And it was just pouring out.
No, it was gross yesterday. But so the festival is over.
Yeah.
For the most part. Because there's the 5th free pizza coming.
That was my 16th year. 15th full-time and one part-time year.
That's 16. Lisa's counting.
On her fingers, so it must be a lot.
Yeah. Mine, I think it's probably my 10th.
Nice.
Could be 20.
Wow.
Oh! Wow, you beat me.
Because I think I started 1997 or 8. Yeah. So 19 or 20. Oh my God.
Were you here the year that Krzysztof Kieślowski was here?
Who?
That would be a no.
I guess not. Krzysztof Kieślowski made my favorite movies of all time, the Three Colors trilogy.
He actually came to town.
And he came to town to VIFF.
No.
For the Three Colors trilogy. And it is my biggest regret, maybe in my life, not going to that festival that year. Because he showed up and he died 2 years later.
Actually, my first year after life was at the VIFF. And Koreeda.
Yeah.
I actually met him in person because I stayed for Q&A.
Yeah.
And I actually asked some question in the lobby at the Vancouver Center, which is no longer
there. And he wasn't very big then, so you probably could just walk right up to him.
Yeah, so we actually chat even after the Q&A is done in the theater, in the lobby, and then I asked him a few questions about the film.
Nice. And Afterlife is so good.
I know,
love
right?
That film.
So that was my first year.
So good that Radiohead made a song about it called Videotape.
There you go.
So good.
My favorite VIFF memory is, I think it was 97 when it came out. Q.
Vincenzo Battaglia.
Yeah, and it was in first year university. I was writing for the paper, and I told the news editor that I wanted to try culture writing. So they put me on that desk, and the culture editor called me on a Saturday morning saying, "Hey, so this Canadian guy is made a movie. You want to go see it and do an interview tomorrow?"
Oh, no.
And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, whatever." So I did an interview with Vincenzo Natale on the Sunday morning at 9 a.m.
Nice.
At the Vancouver Hotel. And I mean, this was, he had just literally premiered in Toronto and it was playing here. It was the second or third festival it played at. And it was before he was anything. It was kind of awesome thinking back on it now. But yeah, that's my favorite.
Did you see the Natale film, Nothing?
I've seen all the Natale films at VIFF.
I love Nothing.
Nothing is fabulous and not enough people talk about that movie.
That's such a great movie.
And it's so technically spectacular when you think about it.
Is that the one, two guys, and then just a head towards the end?
Yeah, they kind of disappear into this weird...
Yeah.
And the world has its own rules.
Yeah.
They can only walk so far.
Yeah.
And they can throw balls in the air and it bounces.
Yeah.
It's a really inventive film.
I'm
sure it costs $20.
But I mean, that's his MO, right?
Yeah.
$20 films that look way better than they should.
Yeah. Now he does really amazing television that looks better than it should.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Natale.
Woohoo. For the win. Okay. So, let's talk VIFF. This year's VIFF.
2017
VIFF. Before we get into our lists, which is what we're really here to talk about, let me sort of backtrack a little bit and get your sort of general feelings on the festival this year. because you guys, between the two of you, saw, well, even alone, you guys saw way more films than I did, and you were out here way more than I was. So what was your general take on this year's festival?
I think it's probably a down year. But that being said, the films I expected to hit. Mm-hmm. I just didn't have as many, oh my God, I just discovered this film.
Yeah.
There was only a couple of those.
Okay.
Usually I have like maybe like 5 to 10 of those.
Yeah.
And it felt like there was less of those this year.
Okay.
But it was a good fest. They played some good films. I just, and overall, it almost felt like the mood was like lower this year.
That was just my general feeling. So yeah. I was wondering how you guys were feeling on that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. I have more sort of like mediocre good film than like excellent, oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah.
And it stays in my head and the entire body going through like magnifying and stuff like that. It's only few.
Yeah.
Normally I have a little bit more than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Usually when I make my top 10 of VIFF, it's 10 5-star films.
Yeah.
I have 4 this year.
Oh, wow.
I only have 3.
Yeah.
I don't think I rated anything a 5-star.
Yeah.
Well, The Endless is probably a 4.5, but it needs a rewatch because I legitimately fell asleep.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't really comment on that.
Yeah.
Just a precursor to my list. I was at another festival where I saw The Endless and Killing of a Sacred Deer. So they're not on my VIFF list.
Oh, okay.
If they were on my VIFF list, they'd be very high.
Okay.
But they're not, because I have it on my Fantastic Fest list.
I will fix that for you.
But don't
worry not.
Don't worry. There's still some good movies on my list. And check out my Fantastic Fest coverage if you want to know my top 10 Fantastic Fest movies.
Yes, so. I'm excited. Yeah. I know what the list is, actually.
Yeah.
There's some good stuff in there for me to look forward to.
Ooh, yeah, I want to see that, too.
Because I didn't see as much stuff, I'm going to do what I did last year, which I will jump in at, like, number 5.
Do you have 10? Okay, cool.
Yeah, because I legitimately could make a top 10, but it would be kind of like not a great list because I didn't see a whole lot.
Yeah.
So I'll stick to top 5, but I'll let you guys go so you figure out between the two of you who goes first.
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first. I'm pretty sure I'm the only person that has this one on their list. At number 10, the new Michael Haneke film, Happy End. Shocked.
Shocks.
I think people expect too much from this film. I think it's just like a really weird movie full of weird vignettes about this really screwed up family who just, by the end of the film, completely fall apart. And it's just a Haneke film. He's trying to screw with you. And I think most people didn't like it because I don't think he really wanted you to like it. And I kind of dig that. I'm weird. So, it's not cachet or one of the great Haneke films, but it's like it's still like a 4.5 out of 5 Haneke film, which there's not very many of those because I think I've rated every one of his films pretty much 5 stars. So it's lesser Haneke, but I thought it was good Haneke. You guys didn't agree, but that's cool.
Well,
that's
okay.
It's not that I hated it. I just didn't.
Yeah.
It just didn't hit with me.
Yeah.
I was bored, I was kind of confused, didn't really get it. So yeah, he did his job, it really fucked with me.
Yeah.
I wanted to like it, like I wanted to enjoy it more than I did, and I didn't enjoy it.
His embrace of Snapchat
is genius.
Is genius.
Yeah. That I agree with.
Yeah.
And,
totally.
And I Don't Want to Dance from the Chandelier.
Oh,
from the Chandelier!
That karaoke sequence is like one of my favorite sequences
of
the year.
That's probably the best scene
in the entire film.
If I had to do a top 10 scenes of the year, that would be like number in the top 5.
Oh, easily.
Sure.
Easily.
It's so good. So good.
So yeah, buyer beware on that one. You might like it, you might not like it, but I dug it. So yeah, my number 10, Happy End.
My number 10 is Django.
Oh, which I haven't seen yet, but I will be seeing.
The Franco Nero film from the 1960s. So,
yep. Okay. I love Bruce, and I thought it was really well done.
Everybody raves about it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Everybody that I've seen, that has seen it, has had nothing but great things to say, which is why I'm seeing it next week.
That's another thing about this fest, is that a bunch of people saw a bunch of films that I didn't see.
Yeah.
That they all
you
love.
You didn't see it?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, okay. It was actually a really good film. better than I thought.
Cool.
Yeah, everybody seemed to enjoy it. The other one that everybody talked about was Western.
Yeah.
Which I also didn't see.
I didn't see it either.
But it's not coming back, so I don't get to catch up with that.
It was playing tonight against the closing gala, and I thought, you know, might as well see the gala.
I maybe should have got to see that instead.
Nice. More on that in a bit.
Yeah.
Number nine, the first Greta Gerwig film, Lady Bird.
I'm so sad.
Starring the great Saoirse Ronan, playing Greta Gerwig. As a teenager, and stuck in Sacramento, California, and she really wants to go to New York and become an art girl, and she has problems with her mom. Her dad's really cool, but her and her mom are they're like oil and water, and it's just Saoirse gets it down so much. Like I really like Greta Gerwig, and she gets Greta Gerwig down so well. And Saoirse's always great.
Yes, she is.
Probably on her way to a nomination for Oscar.
Nice.
And hopefully maybe Greta is too. I think it's a good not a great film, but it's a really great film, like for a first time filmmaker.
Yeah.
Who's usually more like a writer.
Yeah.
She did one film with during the Mumblecore days. I forget which one it was, a Swanberg film.
Oh.
She co-directed it.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
But yeah, it's really good. It's a surprise. I expect it to be good, but it's better than I thought it would be.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's technically good, and yeah, as I said, Saoirse Ronan's on another level, but she always is. So yeah, number nine, Lady Bird.
My number nine, Tom of Finland.
I didn't see it, but I've heard good things.
Yeah, quote unquote, somebody told me there's lots of, you know,
Tom of Finland was known for his provocative photos of penises.
Exactly. I was told that it was so sexual, but wasn't that. It's a lot of drawing about penis, but not actual penis showing on the screen.
Disappointment right there.
No, yeah, but that's why I didn't see it.
Yeah, no cock shots, I'm not there. Sorry! I'm kidding.
No, I liked it. It's well made. And then somebody that I somebody that I know, she lived it, and she said that's her number one.
Oh wow!
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah,
I'll catch up to it.
Yeah. Is it a documentary then?
No. It's a total drama. Narrative.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll catch up to it.
And cute boys.
I'm always up for cute boys. Exactly. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. So number nine, Tom of Finland.
I'm guessing the movie you're talking about is my number eight.
I don't know.
Borg versus McEnroe.
No, that has really cute boys in it too.
Yeah.
I'm so thrilled that we're in your top ten. That's awesome.
I know.
I'm a tennis fan to begin with, and I was always really interested in the story of Bjorn Borg, pretty much the best tennis player who ever played, other than Roger Federer, because Federer's just an amazing player. But the thing is that Federer's still winning titles when he's like 38. Borg stopped when he was 26,
mm-hmm.
and he was a machine, and there was a reason why he was a machine, because he bottled everything up and went crazy.
Yeah.
And this was all about, he was going for the record fifth Wimbledon against John McEnroe, who was a completely different kind of guy, who swears a lot, yells at people, and was the anti-Borg.
Yeah, totally.
And played by Shia LaBeouf, and maybe his best performance ever.
I agree.
I don't know the guy who played Borg's name, but he's really great too.
Yeah.
Great. He's also good. Great hair.
Look alike. Look alike.
Yeah. Amazing hair.
Yeah, great hair.
And just a really good looking guy.
Yeah.
The plot's really good. I love the stuff about Borg, but the tennis is, if that doesn't work, the movie doesn't work, and the tennis works too.
Agreed.
So I thought it would be good, but it was way better than I thought it would be. It's incredibly watchable.
Yeah.
So watch out for it. It's from Neon has it. I think it's coming out this year. So
yeah, I second that.
Yeah.
It totally blew me away. I was really impressed.
See? I saw it twice.
Yeah.
You saw it twice?
I almost did too, actually.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that was my honorable mention.
Oh,
okay.
Didn't make it to my top 10.
So, yeah.
I'm on it, but I chose like, you know, a couple low key film like a Django and Tom of Finland.
So yeah, that's my number eight.
Nice.
Borg versus McEnroe.
My number eight, The Divine Order.
Oh, which I saw too.
I didn't see it.
Hey.
Oh, you didn't see it? Well, it's a female right to vote in, I forgot
Sweden.
Which one, Swedish. And
in 71. You figure like a country that is that advanced, they would have given the women the right to vote like in the 40s.
Exactly, right?
But the early 70s, it was shocking.
Yeah. And it was comical.
Yeah.
At the same time, heartwarming. And,
it
you know,
as comical as that subject could be, I guess.
No, it actually is really
wow.
Like,
okay,
it's
cool.
it actually legitimate laughs.
Yeah,
cool.
It
yeah.
was quite funny.
It was played quite lightly,
yeah.
Which I think really worked for the subject matter.
I think so too. Yeah, it's not really like poor women's like don't have right. They went on strike.
Yeah.
And husband literally has to come, like, you guys have to stop because they have to do all the housework.
Oh, jeez.
And I love the husband who play
yeah.
the protagonist.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah. One of my favorite scenes from the festival is the scene where they're at the yoga thing and the woman, they bring out the mirrors to look at their at
yeah.
their vaginas.
Yeah. And
it's rather amusing.
Yeah,
that was
hilarious.
I thought the men in the audience looked really uncomfortable because at one point I was looking around and everybody's like looking down and all the women are laughing. I'm like, oh yeah, pretty much real life.
Yeah, so vagina has like different...
It's like a spirit animal.
Yeah, like a tiger. And
the... See?
My favorite scene when she told her husband,
yes,
that
I have a tiger
in between my legs.
This is sounding like Fight Club when Edward Norton has that dream and my power animal told me to slide.
That was my first movie of the festival. And I totally screwed up my schedule and showed up and I missed my first movie. So I thought, well, I'll just watch this. I had no idea what it was. I literally walked in blind. By far the best VIFF movie I've ever just randomly walked into.
I was super behind because I arrived from Austin.
Yeah.
And I was super behind. And I was supposed to go and see the Abbas Kiarostami film, 24 Frames.
Yes.
Which everybody said was the worst film of the festival. And I
oh.
missed it.
Oh, really?
I was just like, bullet dodged. I love Kiarostami, but rest in peace. But
yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah.
The world tells you otherwise.
That's
yeah.
right.
So that was your number eight.
Number
order.
Eight is, yeah.
What's
Divine
number seven,
order.
Mr.
My number seven was the closing gala film, Wonderstruck, which you guys weren't quite as high on as I was, but it's two separate stories that kind of meld into one story, and I kind of didn't really know where it was going. And then when they started to kind of put it together, that film silently killed me. I got really emotional at the end. It was like, I was like, damn you, Todd Haynes. Like, this this is, it's not quite as, like, technically amazing as Carol or any more of his other, it's a kid's film, more or less, until the end, where it becomes kind of a weepy adult movie. But it's a silent film.
Yeah, which I did appreciate
yeah.
that. I really, really, really like the silent bits.
Yeah.
The movie didn't work for me. I thought it was a little too meandering, a little too long. I was really bored. But I love a good Carter Burwell score.
Yeah.
This shit is going on my playlist for sure.
Yeah, it's, you know, the two stories, one shot in, like, pre-Giuliani New York, where everything's really dirty and grungy. And the other one's done like this amazing black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. It takes a while to get going, but once you figure it out, I think it's aces. So it's opening in like 2 weeks.
Awesome.
So hopefully people get to see it. Make your own choice, whether you like it or not.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I mean, you won't be disappointed. I mean, it's a really great looking film and it has a little bit something for everybody, I think.
Yeah.
And it does have a nice emotional center. I just didn't really fully work for me.
Nice.
So, I didn't hate it.
So yeah, that was my number seven. Wonderstruck.
My number seven, Proud to be Canadian, Meditation Park.
Hey, is it higher on your list?
It did not make my list.
Oh, okay.
It was,
you looked at your list and I'm like, did it make your list?
Because it was on my short list and I wasn't sure.
Okay.
It was probably the best Canadian film on the festival.
Yeah.
Which is not saying a lot. I think I looked at how many Canadian films I walked out of and it was like seven.
This year?
Yeah.
Alone?
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I did one, but I'm not going to mention.
Good choice.
You should. Come on.
No, but the Meditation Park, I enjoyed it. I love the person play mother.
Yeah.
And she's actually stage actress, not like a
film actress.
She's just more theater.
Who I guess is like this massive star that I'd never heard of before.
Apparently, she's a huge star in, I guess, Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, to clarify, so it's a Vancouver shot, Mina Shum.
Mina Shum.
Mina Shum, yep.
Did Double Happiness
years ago.
Stars Sandra Oh.
Well, Sandra Oh is
the daughter.
Yeah. It's more like a supporting
role.
But,
yeah, that's right.
And the great Don McKellar.
Oh yeah,
that's right, Don McKellar. And then also Zach Santiago, and I can't remember the person's name.
Zima plays the father.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
quite good cast.
I didn't want to like this one because I hate Canadian film. But I was pleasantly surprised by this one. It was way better than I thought it would be. It's about this old woman who starts to get her groove back after she finds out that her husband cheated on her. And it's really watchable.
Yeah, it's funny.
I think everybody liked it.
Yeah.
So
it's like a crowd pleaser.
Yeah,
almost,
like
right?
even this curmudgeon over here liked it. So
yeah.
that's got to be worth something.
Yeah, see,
and it opens in like March or something.
March,
yeah,
it is.
Because when it was announced as the opening gala, I'm like, get the fuck out! Like, what is that? But yeah, it's a good film.
Yep, it is a good film. So my number 7 is Meditation Park.
My number 6 might be the only documentary on my list. Alpha,
is it Mountain?
Alpha Go.
Oh.
It's not Mountain. That's going to be on Marina's list.
No, it's actually not.
Good.
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 You guys suck. Sorry. Alpha Go is like the movie that I'm most upset I missed because everybody says it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So Google decides they're going to try to defeat the world master at Go with a machine. And that sounds really boring to me. And I'm like, that sounds stupid. I need to watch something, so I'll watch this. Turns out it's like the most like thrilling, diabolical film I've seen this year, pretty much. Like, it's so tension filled.
Yeah, I know.
And nothing you expect to happen happens. Everything is so like not what it's supposed to be. Even like when the Google machine does something that you think it's going to do, it does something different.
Oh.
It's so tension filled, and it's brilliant. And I have no idea if people are going to be able to see it, but it's freaking brilliant.
Oh, I was just going to ask you if you knew if by any chance.
No, I have no idea. Like, I hope like Netflix picks it up or something.
Okay. Could be like a documentary channel, like a knowledge and stuff.
But it would be great if Netflix picked it up, so like millions of people could watch it.
Yeah.
Like when something on Netflix gets picked up,
people
hundreds of millions
it.
Of people see it.
Yeah.
And this is the documentary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to pick this. I need to see this. Somebody pick this up already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping they were going to add another screening.
Yeah, so they did not.
Yeah, they added screenings to films that nobody liked.
That was my feeling when I looked at the list of added screenings.
Yeah. And like Indian Horse already had like 4 screenings, and they added another one.
Well,
it was terrible.
It won the People's Choice.
I know. It did it?
Oh, yeah. Really?
Are you kidding me?
I did not know that.
Yeah, they announced it just before the screening happened.
Oh,
I
Jesus.
Saw it come up on Twitter, I think.
The hour and 10 minutes I saw that film was fucking terrible.
I liked it.
Wow. And that was one of the films I walked out
but
of.
But did you love it enough to vote it the people's favorite?
No.
Well, obviously not in my top 10.
So no.
Yeah.
But I liked it.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, my number 6 was Alpha Go.
Sweet.
My number 6. Probably I'm the only one that loved it, but I'm still love this, so I'm putting it in my number 6, which is Eye on Juliet.
Didn't even see it.
You didn't see it?
Oh, but I heard the conversation about
this. I know,
this
with
one.
My buddy, right?
Yes.
But I don't care if he doesn't like it or not, but I loved it, so I still put it
this
on my
number
6.
This is also the guy that liked Hidden Sword, so yeah, pretty much.
That might be the worst film I actually sat all the way through. Hidden Sword. Never watched that film. Never.
So bad, people. Yeah. So bad.
Anyway, Eye on Juliet is like a guy who controls this robot. He's in U.S., but the robot is in oil field in somewhere in northern Africa, so that's the city. And so he's a security using those robots to make sure that nobody steals oil from the pipeline, right? And then,
wait, I thought it was like a romantic comedy.
Then he finds this girl who comes to near the pipeline to secretly meet with her lover.
Oh, but okay.
Because her religion, you know, normally she's going to be married, like, arranged. So kind of like Romeo and Juliet. So that's why he named her Juliet.
Okay. Because when I heard you guys talking about it, you guys were just kind of talking about like a sweet romantic comedy and... No, I'm not kidding. So when you say oil field and robots, I'm like, wait, what does that have to do with a romantic comedy?
So he kind of like has eye on her. I don't think it's really, really romantic love because he just tried to help her, right? It doesn't mean that, you know, he loves her. He tried to help her where she can get out from country with her lover. So it's not really love romance, I, in my opinion.
So it's called Eye on Juliet.
Eye on Juliet, yeah.
Okay, now the title makes sense.
I didn't see it. That was your number six?
Number six, yep.
My number five, I think I'm the only person that saw this movie, Scary Mother.
You are the only person that saw it that I know of. But it did make my short list, and I couldn't schedule it. So.
I love this film. This is my like discovery of the festival. That nobody was talking about. It's a film from like Georgia, where this woman writes this novel that she doesn't want to tell anybody about because it's about her family and how she wants to kill them. Oh. And she by mistake decides she's actually going to read it to the family, and the family makes her destroy the book. But she has another copy, and she just moves out and starts rewriting it. But still stalks them. It's really twisted. It's the Michael Haneke film not made by Michael Haneke film in the festival.
Okay, I really need to see this movie.
It's really screwed up, and I freaking loved it. Everybody around me hated it, and they made their thoughts very vocal after the screening.
Oh wow!
And I was like, you guys are freaking wrong. That movie is awesome. So yeah, Scary Mother.
Wow.
If you get a chance to see it.
It's on my list.
It's
really cool. I loved it. That's my number five.
Okay, do you want to jump in?
I'll jump in after you.
Okay, so my number five is Japanese film, Close Knit.
Oh.
I didn't see that one.
No, but somebody else mentioned this. I think it was Melissa that mentioned that she talked to a bunch of people that had seen it, that said it was really, really good.
Yep. So it's this girl whose mother is very irresponsible, so most of the day she spends by herself, and her mother just leave her money to buy, like, you know, a rice ball from a convenience store. So that's her meal, morning and then, you know, dinner and stuff like that. Anyway, and one day she just as usual, mother leave with her new lover and then tell her to go to uncle. So she goes to uncle, and then uncle take her in, but this time it's a little bit different because he has somebody living with him, right? But this person, his girlfriend, is actually used to be a boy.
Oh, okay.
So, but very, very much like, you know, born as a boy, but heart of woman. She's like more woman like you and me.
Yeah.
She cooks. She go to work, take care of uncle's mother, which is girl's grandmother. So she takes care of her grandmother because she's already losing her mind and dementia and stuff like that. That's how they met. But anyway, so I really liked it. I really liked the fact that there's lots of discrimination against, not just for transvestite, but for the girl, she's been teased in school and stuff like that, but how she's going to deal with it and, you know, stuff like that. So it was really good.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about it until somebody else mentioned it, so we'll figure. My number five is...
Welcome to the list, Marina.
Exactly. Thanks. Welcome.
Because I've been sitting here not talking for the last whatever time. My number five is BPM, or beats per minute, or 120 beats per minute. I don't know what this movie is called.
Well, when I saw it again today, it said beats per minute.
Okay, legitimately, that's what it's called.
That's right.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It made me cry.
Aww.
It's a both like a great romance and like along the way also like probably one of the best, if not the best movie I've ever seen about any sort of activism.
Mm-hmm.
Just really, really well done, and the performances are just spectacular. And it feels really authentic.
Yeah. Awesome.
I love that.
More on this later.
Oh! Okay, you're number four.
My number four, we're in five-star territory right now.
Okay.
Yeah, everything above here is...
Five stars.
Five stars.
Or six out of five.
So, my number four is Columbus.
Oh, I wanted to see...
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, okay.
What can I say about this one? This was a bit of a surprise, too. John Cho and Haley Lou Richardson, who... if there's any justice, gets actress nominated for Oscar for this amazing role. These two people who are kind of broken, who kind of get together and don't really like hug or be nice to each other. They just talk about architecture, and they work out their pain through just talking about buildings. And it sounds really strange, but it's so magical. And it works so well, and it just kind of snuck up on me and just completely kicked my ass. And it has one, like, I don't cry much in movies, but the ending of this film made me cry so hard.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a disclaimer.
Oh, fuck me.
Well, yeah.
Columbus is actually opening film for Vancouver Asian Film Festival.
I saw that.
Nice.
That's awesome. So, yeah. People, if you're in Vancouver, still a chance to see it, because that's still coming up.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. Yeah, definitely one of the best films of the year. My number four,
Win.
Columbus.
Win.
Yeah.
Okay, my number four, BPM.
Yay! There's a theme here, people.
Beat per minute. I just loved it. Yeah. The same thing, you know, good combination between love, sex, activism, and then thorough. So yeah, it's really touching.
And if you live in Vancouver, it opened today.
That's right, at International Village.
Yeah, Bill went to see it.
There were three people there.
Oh,
I'm gonna see it again.
It amazes me how if you put the word VIF in front of it, it's a sold out audience.
Oh.
But then you put it in the theaters, and there's three people.
Let's be honest. It's the people that buy a pass that only watch movies at VIF.
Pretty much.
And God forbid they have to pay for a ticket.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah.
What number are we on?
Number four.
I'm confused.
Is the movie that got bumped off your list.
Oh, Call Me By Your Name.
Call Me By Your Name.
Nice.
Which I loved. Beyond the very pretty boys, which there were two.
Yeah.
The father-son scene in this movie kicked my ass.
Yeah, but
to no end.
That scene makes the film.
I don't know. I really, really, really loved the summer sort of lazy, bombing around Italy, finding your first love, like the whole the chase, and I don't know. It just made me feel so happy.
Yeah. I just wish it wasn't an hour and a half of that.
I could have lived through another 2 hours of that.
Wanted to try something a little more interesting with it. Like, that film needed more Ralph Fiennes dancing in it.
I really, really kind of loved, and that's so James Ivory, though.
Yeah.
Like, you watch it.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely Rick Remains of the Day or something like that.
For sure, and which is why I think probably one of the other reasons that it worked for me. Like, I just kind of, that pacing works for me.
Yeah.
But not all the time. Like, some movies attempt it and it just doesn't work. But for some reason, just the scenery and the music and acting, I was taken up by the whole thing. I just loved it.
It's like a connection between these two characters and you know.
I mean, Armie Hammer.
Yeah, I know, right?
I still rate it at 4.5 out of 5.
I know.
I just, everybody's saying this is like the film of the year.
And I don't think I wouldn't go that far.
I don't think it's that film.
I agree. I don't think it is either.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen that film yet. I have. Yeah, I haven't seen that film yet. But I really loved it.
So that was your number four?
Four. So you're number three.
Am I the only person that saw Faces Places?
Here?
I saw it.
You saw it too?
Yeah.
Is it on your list?
Nope.
What?
Everything that is good with humanity did not land here.
Wow. Okay. Agnes Varda, the 80-something-year-old woman, and JR, the 33-year-old French artist who become best friends driving across France doing really weird stuff. On Twitter, a couple days ago, JR is in LA right now. He took a picture of Agnes Varda's toes.
Oh, wow.
And put them in a building in LA.
Oh, wow.
So he's moved on to LA now. It's not just France. Yeah, they're just talking to people, taking photos, and doing really cool stuff. And their relationship is what makes the film. It's so genuinely beautiful.
Yeah, very cute.
And, I don't think this is impossible to hate.
Yeah.
It's just good.
Yeah, everybody that I know has seen it has nothing but good things to say.
Like, legitimately, this probably should be my number one film, except for there was two other ones that were better. That's pretty hard to say because this was really freaking good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I am going to get around to it.
I liked it.
I have a feeling it's going to be one of the big Oscar push.
Yeah, it's France's official nominee for Oscar.
Oh, there we go.
Which is weird because it probably should be BPM. But
I would agree with that.
Yeah. But hey, what are you gonna do?
But then it's Hollywood, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah, Faces Places, it's absolutely amazing. I think it's opening soon.
Yep.
So you have no excuse. Yeah, number three.
And if you're in Vancouver, it's one of the VIF.
Repeat.
VIF repeats scheduled next week.
Yep.
Your number three.
My number three is also documentary. And mine is Shut Up and Say Something.
Which I didn't see. That might be the one that I'm angry that I didn't see.
Oh.
Shane
Cole. I can never pronounce her last name.
Kosowin.
Yeah, he's the slam poetry champion. Yeah.
Oh, his poetry touched me so much.
He's super talented. I saw him at Word Vancouver either last year or the year before. And he did, I'm not even kidding, he showed up to do a presentation. And he ended up on the spot, just
freestyling,
and it was amazing.
Yeah,
We were all standing there, what just hit us? That was great.
He actually was bully, right? And then he normally quite introvert, but he said once on his stage, he's a different person, and which I kind of connect to it because I am a bit more shy side, but I used to sort of facilitate seminar and stuff like that, in front of people that I don't really know, I could be totally public speaking. I don't really have much problem because I don't know these
it's
people.
It's the faceless masses.
Exactly. So I kind of connect to that with him as well. But also, the film kind of focus on him going back to, because he didn't have parents growing up. So he was actually raised by his grandmother, basically. And he going back to see why his father didn't stay with him.
Mm.
And when he find out he actually have a half-sister, he was hurt so much. Why he didn't stay with me, but he stayed with her. So anyway, so there's a father-son sort of reunite and, try to figure things out. And then film pretty much end with poetry that he wrote for him, his father, and his father reading it. That was the most emotional part, and it was really, really, really honest and touching.
That's awesome.
And it's on the Knowledge Network in a couple weeks.
Wicked! I'm setting my PBR. It's happening, people.
Yay!
We're at number three, right?
Yeah, number three.
Okay, Killing of a Sacred Deer, which is not on Bill's list.
Would probably be 4 on my list.
It's probably the most, I don't want to say straightforward, because I thought that his last movie was fairly straightforward as well.
The Lobster.
Yeah. But he's the director that makes, the stuff that goes through the lens of his head.
Yeah.
It's it's a simple idea, but that lens is really fucked up. And so the thing that comes out at the other end is really fucked up.
Yeah.
But so well made, it's so much fun to watch.
alternate Earth.
For sure.
Yeah, everything is. For sure. It's Earth, but it's not our Earth.
But I honestly, for a couple of days afterwards, I was I wonder what it's like to live with him. to like know him personally. Like, is he always like that? I kind of have a feeling that you can't turn that off.
When I saw the Fantastic Fest, Barry Keoghan, with the kid in the film, was there talking about the process of making that film.
Yeah.
And he's literally like, yeah, he just tells us to go harder or slower. That's his like.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whatever works for you, man.
Yeah.
It seems to be working for you so far,
like,
so hey.
Colin Farrell seems to like him.
Yeah.
He keeps on working with him.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, it's great stuff. It's an amazing film.
It's so different.
It's probably going to offend people, but I think once you get past the lanthimosisms of it, I think it's a really spectacular film.
Yeah, and it gets at some really interesting ideas, which I think is the most fascinating thing about his movies. They get at like some really deep, like big head stuff.
Yeah.
In like these really interesting ways that kind of separate you from it. So it's almost like non-emotional until you think about it later. It's kind of spectacular filmmaking.
And he make actor act that way too.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's so no emotion from any character whatsoever.
And Nicole Kidman for everything.
Yeah. Second.
Yeah.
A second.
It didn't make to my list, but it's still kind of high for me as well. And then I was talking to somebody else in the line, and I said, you know, I like the film. And I literally was saying, like, really?
Yeah.
From the other person.
Apparently they didn't get it.
Yeah.
But he's that filmmaker.
Yeah.
Like it or hate it, right?
Yeah, you either really love his stuff. Like, I could show 100 people the movie Alps.
Oh,
and
99%
of them would hate it.
Yeah, I did not like that film.
Yeah, but that's the film of his where he's trying to piss you off.
Yeah.
Like, that's the happy end of his catalog.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he's an amazing filmmaker.
Agreed.
One of the best working today, to tell you the truth. Was that your number three?
That was my number three.
Is it my turn?
Yep.
My number two is The Florida Project, the new Sean Baker film, which is opening right now as we speak. Yeah, it's everything I want it to be, and everything I wanted American Honey to be last year too. It's the most authentic piece of filmmaking I've seen this year. Everything about this film does not feel forced. It feels so real, to the point where you don't think it's almost like a documentary. And these aren't actors. Like, he literally found these people on Instagram. Like, how amazing is that? And it works so well. Bookend by the greatest ending of the year in a movie, period.
I didn't like it.
I'm sorry. What?
I did not like it.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Just great natural performances and from these non-actors, and Willem Dafoe putting in career work.
He's awesome. Yeah, I like him.
I like that he shot it on a non-phone. I think it looks better than Tangerine for sure.
Oh yeah,
Tangerine looks really great, but this looks so much better. Great use of music, and yeah, it's a stunning piece of work.
More on that later.
Stunning. Yeah. So yeah, my number two, The Florida Project. But we're, as we said before, we're the Sean Baker fangirls, because he's pretty awesome.
Happening.
Yeah.
What's your number two?
My number two is At the End of the Tunnel.
Wow.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
I liked it.
I liked it too. I
find it, it's different from any other film that I see. I mean, it's a thriller, and there's not too many film like this in this year's film festival. So
I can go with that.
When I saw it, it kind of like almost refreshing. And it was like comical.
Yes.
And
very much so.
At the same time, nail-biting. And I like the concept of the main character is actually, you know, what you call?
Paraplegic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go too much because it's kind of almost like become spoiler, but like, I kind of like the ending too. It was funny.
Oh yeah, I love the ending.
And you're going to love the Bruce Willis remake in 2 years.
I said Robert De Niro, man. Robert De Niro is the captain.
Yeah.
And then I don't know who's going to play the guy.
Yeah.
Maybe Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
I don't know if he could have upper body muscle.
No.
I'm kind of thinking more like Tom Hiddleston or something.
Oh, no.
Without a shirt for like 90% of the movie.
I thought it was a fun movie for about 75% of it. And then it just got really preposterous at the end.
But so funny. That finale is so good.
I liked
just
it.
Just so over the top. Yeah. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit long, but a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Shockingly, it's that high on your list. So
yeah, I liked it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so my number two is The Endless.
Nice. Which would also be on my list if I hadn't already seen that Fantastic Fest.
Yeah, the movie which I really need to rewatch, like, pronto. It will happen sooner rather than later. But, man, I love this movie.
I didn't see it.
It's just, it's not at all. Like, the description that I read was for a really awesome movie. The movie that I got was not that movie, but it was probably way better.
It's a bait and switch.
Totally.
They're trying to make it so you don't know what's going on.
And it totally works.
Yeah, Benson and Moorhead, I think, are maybe the most exciting young filmmakers.
I agree.
Going right now.
150%.
In the genre area.
And they also turned out to be really good actors.
Yeah, surprisingly good actors.
Okay, admittedly, it helps that they're really good looking.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, during the Fantastic Fest Q&A, they were talking about that. And Luke Mullen, who was doing the Q&A, is like, shut the fuck up. You're both really handsome.
Yeah. they have this, like, really biting sense of humor. If you follow them on any social media, you can tell they have really great sense of humor.
I have to check it.
Yeah, and they work well together. But, I mean, they are ridiculously good looking.
Yeah.
Like,
and
both of them.
And they're super talented. They're really good
like
films.
Beyond that.
Yeah.
Beyond the aesthetic. Yeah, because, I mean, they do editing,
they shoot. They did
everything
this movie. They did special effects this time.
And, I mean, it's really amazing. And it's the kind of movie that I'd say, just go in, don't, like, read anything, because something is bound to spoil it.
Yeah.
Don't bother with the trailer. Just kind of let yourself go, and it's such a ride. It is a lot of fun to
pay attention.
Yes. There are clues everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Spring was one of my favorite films of a couple years ago.
And it was awesome.
And I think this one's a jump.
Yeah.
I think they got even better.
Yeah.
It's a pretty special film. It would be high on my list, too, if I hadn't already listed it.
And I need to thank you because you put them on my radar.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Thanks for that.
Yes, I saw Spring at Fantastic Fest in 2014.
Dude, you bought me a Blu-ray of Spring.
Yeah, I know.
It's the greatest. It is legitimately the greatest thing.
I was just blown away by that film.
Yeah.
Nobody was talking about it.
Oh, it's amazing.
And I was just like, holy shit, everybody needs to see Spring.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So now I'm on the search to watch their first movie, Resolution.
Yeah.
That's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, that was my number two.
Number two. Number one.
The drum roll.
Y'all know what my number one is.
Yeah.
Since like day two, I've been talking about BPM, and I think it's the one film that I watched at this festival that like made my heart stop. It was so good, like it like blew my hair back. And I watched it again today for like that, you know, reassurance. And guess what?
It's just as good.
Yeah. It's easily the fastest 2-hour and 25-minute movie I watched
agree.
This year.
Yeah,
it feels
I
like
agree.
It's an hour long.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And when I watched it today, it was more about the way that it was shot, and like the protests and how they were all like blocked out. How some people were throwing stuff. Some people were lying on the ground. Some people had signs. It was so meticulously done and beautifully shot.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a heartbreaker.
It totally is. I can't watch it anytime soon.
Yeah, it absolutely destroyed me again today.
Yeah. No.
And I walked out of that and went straight to a film right after it. And Zach said, you okay, man? Because my eyes must have been puffy or something.
Aww.
And I'm like, yeah, dude, just watch BPM again. He's like, oh, shit. And I'm like, yeah, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's one of the best films of the year. By far.
Second
it. Ended up our list.
Yeah.
All three of them.
It won the second place prize at Cannes. I have no idea how it did win the Palme d'Or.
And we saw the Palme d'Or winner.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm really kind of cold on it.
Yeah, me too.
A film of scenes.
Yes.
That work.
Yes.
And scenes that don't.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, that's my number one with a bullet, man. Nothing was touching that film. It's weird. A couple years of VIFF, a film just like kicks my ass. And there's no way it's ever getting touched. Like Son of Saul ended up being my number one film of that year. One of my favorite films of the decade.
Yeah.
Nothing
so
was
good.
Touching that.
And okay, so is VPM like your, so far your favorite movie of the year?
No.
Okay.
No, Blade Runner is.
Fuck!
Yeah.
It's happening to me tomorrow,
that's a betrayal, right?
No, it's...
I'm so excited. This movie has just like, the elevation level is crazy. I've been off of social media for a week. Which is probably the greatest thing ever.
You know,
because I have managed to avoid everything.
I don't know if you get spoiled on that film.
I don't care. I haven't seen anything.
It's so freaking, like, not what you expect. Like, he just does so much with that film.
I'm so excited.
Like, Villeneuve went 4 for 4 and hit 4 home runs with that film.
Oh,
like, it's
so
it's
excited.
Perfect.
I want to see it, but I never seen any other Blade Runner. So he said I should know.
Yeah,
so.
I rewatched the original last weekend in preparation.
Oh, for this.
Because it had been a little while since I'd seen
it. Was it the final cut?
We watched, yes,
yeah.
It was the final cut.
The Blu-ray version?
I think I have the DVD one.
Nice.
Because at the time that I bought it, I bought the collector's case when that was released. And I swore to God that I was never going to get a Blu-ray player. Why the fuck would I buy this on Blu-ray? Obviously, I still regret it.
You can get the 5-disc Blu-ray set for like $15
yeah,
on Amazon.
That's
it's
what I'm going to do. And
super worth
I'm going to replace it.
It has every cut of the film.
Yeah, that's the DVD
yeah,
one I have.
It's all amazing.
And honestly, the DVD looks okay, but...
Oh, the Blu-ray. I saw a DCP of it about 6 months ago.
Wow.
Holy
yeah.
shit. I love Blade Runner.
IMAX 2D tomorrow.
Nice.
Happening.
Text me right after.
I will. Okay, so, okay, we got sidetracked. Lisa, you're number one.
My number one
da-da-da-da-da.
Is actually Call Me By Your Name.
Nice.
I really, really liked it because long time ago, I don't know if you guys seen it, Trick. With Christian Campbell?
No.
That was like one of my favorite, like, you know, sort of like boy meets boy film. So the trick was story about this guy meet with hot, like, stripper boy.
Okay.
And they tried to be laid, but they couldn't find the place.
Oh.
Because his place, his roommate come back with a girl and they kick them out, right? So they try to find a place to have like, you know, intimate thing. Never happened. It's a story about one night.
Yeah.
I like that film. Call Me By Your Name kind of reminds me of that film because, you know, they're a little bit too late when they find out they actually love each other. So like,
Only have a short time together.
One summer, and then, you know, Armie Hammer has to go back to U.S. And it's just that, like, how much the Italian boy, he was heartbroken. His mother has to pick him up, he was crying. But, you know, mother already knew, and, you know, he tell father.
Yeah, I thought it was a really sweet sort of, like, first love.
Exactly. Something very... innocent about the relationship and family.
I like how
it
wasn't creepy.
Exactly.
Like it could have so easily been creepy and it totally wasn't.
No. It worked really well with me, so it ended up being on my number one.
Nice. That's cool. I like the film.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I really do. I saw it twice.
My number one is Mount. No, it's not.
It's the Florida Project.
Oh my God.
Of course it's the Florida Project. It's the one movie I haven't mentioned, people.
Yeah.
Like, hi. So you'd mentioned how Sean Baker had found all of his actors on Instagram. So he's kind of like a master at this.
Yeah.
Like, he is the guy to find unknowns to be superstars in his movies. He's done it for basically all his films. And so that trend continues here. I mean, I don't really know what else to add. I mean, you pretty much said it all. My expectations were super high going in, because like you say, fangirl, if there is one, I'm it. And this far exceeded anything I could have expected. So
yeah.
At this point, it is my favorite movie of the year.
Nice.
Wow.
It's very high on my list too.
Yeah. I loved every second of it. I can't wait to see it again. And I can't imagine a better ending this year. I really can't.
Yeah.
It's perfect for me.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
I still want a documentary on that Blu-ray about how he shot that scene.
Oh, I hope, and I'm sure there will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Other than the fact that he might get in trouble.
Well, it's too late now.
Yeah.
It's done.
Well, that one dude shot that entire film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And didn't really get in trouble for it.
Yeah.
So,
was that last year or the year before? A
couple years ago.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. I didn't care for the movie.
I thought it was shit. Yeah. I thought it was a really cool idea.
Yeah, the concept was really neat.
Yeah.
Anything else in general you guys want to add about the festival or anything in particular?
Once again, great to see you guys.
Yeah,
always a pleasure.
I talked last year about how last year was such a great dynamic. We had such great times at the Rio, and this year kind of felt off.
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I think it's because they weren't actually midnight movies.
No.
And the times always got screwed up, so people didn't show up because they were seeing something else.
Well, let's be honest, the midnight movies that we did see were mostly kind of shitty.
Yeah, they were terrible. But you guys were awesome. Everybody else.
The crew is the
ship. Crew.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a pretty cool crew that we hang out with at VIF. And yeah, I wish Victoria had a film scene. It does not.
We may have to make a film
other
scene.
Other than Adrian and I. And I wish I lived here for the film, but I just... the city's too fast for me, so I'm happily going home tomorrow.
I'm happily going to sleep in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or later. Because I'm pretty sure we're into Saturday already.
Yeah. As soon as I can get out of here, it will not be quick enough.
Yeah. No,
I've been film festing since September the 20th.
For legitimately a month.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
5 to 6 movies a day.
That's crazy.
And I've been sick.
You've been a super triple man.
And I don't know how the hell I did this, but
and then your ear.
I never know. Every year I never know how he does it. So
my,
his ear.
I know.
I've had some really bad ear problems.
Yeah, it's your body telling you it's time to go to bed.
Yeah. So thank you to both of you.
Oh.
And to everybody I talked to at this festival. And we'll see you next year, if not before.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So we will have the lists on the website. Follow Bill on the Twitters.
At SoundJam69. And check out my podcast, Green Screen of Death, every 2 weeks with Adrian Charlie.
Do it.
On iTunes and then websites and other fucking things.
Everywhere you can get a podcast, you will find the Green Screen of Death. And their Fantastic Fest Top 10 is coming up.
Yeah.
So keep your ears peeled for that. And Lisa, you are not on social media.
Nope.
But folks can catch you next year on podcast.
That's
That'd
right.
be hilarious if she's like, I'm on Letterboxd.
Which should happen. You know, it's free. We should make this happen for you. And stay tuned to world3.com and follow me on the Twitters at TheMarinaOne. And that's it. So we'll wrap this shit up here.
Yeah.
Until the next one.